The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
You don't do this thing in the net. It's professional hockey. What are these guys, the jerks or something?
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert. Today here with my very, very important and prestigious co-host, Jason Berkeley.
I thought you were going to call me a sidekick. I wasn't sure if I should be like Ed McMahon. Yes.
No, you're far more than a sidekick.
For those
Jason.
Millennials out there, it's look up Johnny Carson, Ed McMahon.
Just, yeah, that's, you see, once again.
I know. I'm dating myself.
Dating you is like, it's like an understatement of the day. It is
really, dating me? What do you
dating
mean?
Dating yourself.
Oh, okay.
I am not going to date you.
Thank you.
No, because I am just not interested.
Not honestly, anything wrong with
that's
it.
All. No, I'm just not interested. But maybe someday. Right. There's time.
Okay.
We are here today to talk about the Carolina Hurricanes.
We are.
They have had an incredible run this year.
They have so far. And I don't think it's over yet either.
No, they look like they are playoff bound. Although there are many games left.
Yes.
It's not a shoo-in. Could they actually fall out of their position? They're, what, third in the...
They're third in the Metro, I think right behind them.
In the Metro Conference.
Right behind them with 79 points is Pittsburgh.
They
behind
are interested
them,
in
I think,
playoff.
Was 77 points. Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Columbus. So, I mean, it's anybody's...
Those are good teams.
Good teams.
17 games, 18
Any
games, a lot of
one of those
games.
Teams goes on a 2 or 3 game losing streak. A team goes on a 2 or 3 game winning streak, completely flip-flopped, and you're looking at a totally different standing. So,
correct.
I'm just hoping Pittsburgh falls out. Because then I win my bet, and
well,
I don't have to watch Pittsburgh in the postseason.
That's because you're mostly a douchebag.
Well,
that's
mostly.
That's why.
Thank you.
I mean, basically.
At least it's mostly this time.
Yeah,
I'm not entirely.
No, it's
speaking
okay.
of which, so around the NHL, real quick, we have a couple things that have happened. On this date, hockey history.
On this date.
March 6th, 2019 yes. is today. But in 1996, 23 years ago today, Chris Osgood scored the second.
Detroit.
Second goalie,
right?
Second goal as a goalie. That's an important milestone.
It is. It is an important milestone.
23 years.
Can I ask you one thing?
Yeah.
On these items we're going to discuss before we get to Adam Gold from Raleigh Durham.
Listen,
how much
Wings,
of this is going to be about the Red Wings?
The Wings.
How much of it
stink?
Is it
80%, we don't talk about them.
90%.
Listen. The Wings stink. But I will qualify that by saying they're not the dead Wings. That would imply the team's terrible. The team doesn't stink.
They're
I should
like
take that back.
Last in the league.
They're rebuilding. And they have a very, very, very good young core. We got a lot of good picks. Philip Zadina scored his first goal the other night.
Good for him.
So, listen, this is a team that while we start doing this podcast in 3 to 5 years, I'm going to stick it right in your face because the Wings will be the number one team again in the NHL. And you're going to say, oh, we have to talk about the Wings again. You know what? Eat it.
Okay? Fine. I will eat it.
Fine.
If we are talking about the number one Wings in 3 to 5 years, I will definitely eat it.
Just wait. But on a sad note, we lost an icon.
Yes, we did.
That
oh, wait.
Every
what team did he play for?
Detroit Red Wings. Mr. Ted Lindsay, yes. Terrible Ted Lindsay.
He's an amazing guy, by
a
the way.
A legend.
This
and
guy.
Every single player in the NHL from now until the NHL, whatever date it ever ends, has Ted Lindsay to thank for forming the NHL Players Association.
Yes.
He realized years and years ago that the players need representation. They couldn't be bullied by the owners, which back then that's what was happening. And they took back the power to themselves thanks to Ted Lindsay. And I think every player will owe him a debt of gratitude for forever. And, that's
Cup winner.
Yeah, cup winner, multiple cup winner, four of them.
Multiple cup winner.
Played 14 seasons with Detroit, 3 with Chicago, because the owner of Detroit at the time, Jack Adams was, or I'm sorry, the owner of the team, was Jack Adams? No, he was a coach, I'm sorry. The owner of the team, Norris, was kind of a dick, and just got rid of players at a whim.
I'm sure.
And it was
awful.
I'm
sure it was a different day.
Yeah, it was awful.
Now,
but right now, up in heaven, skating around, the production line is back together again. Sid Abel, Gordie Howe, and Ted Lindsay.
Ted Lindsay was also, his father was also an NHLer. And I think he's one of the first, that's one of the first families in the NHL history.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just,
he was what, 93, correct?
He was 93 years old.
Good run.
Good run, and just left a legacy just behind him of just, that's just, very, very few could ever come close to that type of legacy in sports of any kind. I'm sorry. So
we're going to miss that. He's amazing.
I got to meet him at Joe Louis years ago when I was a kid.
No way.
You know, just
at the Joe.
He was there all the time.
That's legit.
And yeah, got to say hi to him.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Was it a night that like Sergei Fedorov scored a goal just to like complete your Red Wings?
I don't remember.
Moment.
It
had to be
a long time ago. It might have been actually before Fedorov was even there.
Oh man.
And another thing we have to talk about is John Tavares coming back to NASA,
which was not what I expected to happen, by the way.
I don't think they rolled out the red carpet.
They did. They were looking for red, but I think they were looking for red from his jugular vein.
Or the red wedding, like from Game of Thrones.
No, definitely not.
Final season were coming back on April 14th on HBO.
Are we promoting Game of Thrones now?
Oh, I can't wait.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd sponsor this podcast? It's not a lot of hockey in Game of Thrones. I know. Everybody loves it. It's a big one. Can't wait. I think the Tavares return were they in Nassau Coliseum?
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
So if for those of you who didn't see it, it didn't go well.
No. Not for him.
Not for Tavares. It went great for the Islanders. Spanked.
Now, I don't know if they pulled a Toronto by throwing Tavares Islanders jerseys on the ice. I don't know if that happened. But they might as well have because they did everything else.
Yeah,
between holding up signs, yelling at the guy, chanting asshole in the background. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty brutal. They did throw Tavares jerseys?
I
would assume they would.
Oh, no, they did. They threw jerseys like X'd out.
They stole the page from the Maple Leafs playbook.
Yes, they did.
So, I mean, listen, you know, it's sports. The guy's going back to play for his hometown team. I understand you're pissed, but those Islanders fans should be pissed at the ownership and the management, not at Tavares.
And by the way, the guys that did all that are not there anymore.
I understand
and
that.
And they have Lou Lamoriello.
Well, the owner still is. But they should be pissed off at the owner and everyone else who was involved in that decision-making, not Tavares. Because he went where the money was. Listen, every young boy's dream when they play sports is to grow up in whatever respective sport they're playing and play for your hometown team to be your hometown hero.
There you go. And that's where
Bruce sang about it in his song, Local Hero. I mean, that's the whole bottom line of the song.
That's
right. That you want to be, you know, it's where you're from. Your friends and family come every night. And to all the girls that dumped you in high school or didn't want to look at you, you can stick it in their face.
And you got a chip tonight, dude.
I
feel like there's going to be like a problem.
You know, you skate around. Hey, you see that goal? You wouldn't go out with me in 10th grade? Suck it.
That's right.
Okay.
There you go.
That's what would happen. And that's what I'd do.
Straight. I would do it too.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Although, I guess I would have to go back and like fix all those bad nose jobs I saw in my hometown because there was a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
It was really bad. It was like a 16th birthday kind of problem.
Well, you got a lot of problems in your hometown with your high school down there, by the way.
No joke.
Yeah, we'll talk about this some other time. But anyway, but you know what? He's a professional. He's getting paid a lot of money. He handled it in stride, and you know, good for
him. He did what he could do, and they lost graciously.
He's not the last laugh. He's not the last laugh. Because if I was him, here's what I would do. When Toronto wins the cup, I go back in the summer. Hold on a minute. I go back in the summer. If I were him, I'd fly back when it's his time with the cup, rent a convertible, and drive around sticking the middle finger out to everybody on Long Island, honking the horn. Okay. Look, I got the cup. You want this? Look at the cup. Look at the cup. You know, and that's what I would do if I was him. But he won't do
that. I think that would last about 8 minutes before somebody would take him out. That would be it.
It'd be a fun 8 minutes.
Oh, look, hey, there's Tavares.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what's he got there? All right, we need to take that.
Is that how Long Islanders talk?
They do. They do talk like that.
Well, I thought it was more Brooklynites. Okay. Anyway, but you know what? He's a professional. He's paid a lot of money. Good for him. He was able to go back in there. And I don't even know the score. I don't even know if I think they won. Didn't they? Didn't Toronto win? Toronto won the game, didn't they?
No.
They lost the game. Honestly, I was so caught up in the drama, I didn't even want, you know.
Half of the roster of the Islanders got a point on that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
at least.
That's right, yeah.
At least half the roster.
I wasn't even paying attention at that point. It was just the drama of the whole thing.
I want to go back to the Long Island accent just for a second.
Yeah, you were talking like Goodfellas.
I had a roommate from at Cornell Medical who was from Long Island. And I have a quick segue because when we were roommates, one time I got a phone call from his Aunt Blanche, who called.
Blanche?
Aunt Blanche. So she called, and the phone call went like this. It was, hello? She goes, "Hello, is Robert there?" And I said, "No, we're just studying, and he's at the library." And she goes, "Well, I want to let you know that I sent you and Robert some cookies, and I hope that they've arrived at your dormitory. Did you get the cookies?" I said, I don't know if we got the cookies, Aunt Blanche. You know, I'm going to check it out." She goes, "Are you boys fighting?" I swear to God, I'm in medical school. You know, I'm not like 18, 17 years old where I might be fighting with my roommate. And I said, "No, we're not fighting. We're studying. We have final exams coming up." She goes, "Well, in that case, you can have some cookies also."
Wow.
I was very blessed.
I like Aunt Blanche.
By Aunt Blanche. Yeah. So that's my Long Island story for you.
I like Aunt Blanche.
We're going to take a quick redirect.
Yes.
Because we need to get the phone Adam Gold.
From Blanche to the Hurricanes.
We're going right to North Carolina, but I will bet you that somehow Long Island will come up again. Adam Gold of ESPN The Fan in Raleigh, Durham, and he has his own podcast as well. Nice. That called the Canes Corner Podcast. And we're going to talk to him about the Carolina Hurricanes, so let's saucer one over to Adam Gold.
And here comes the four-time heavyweight champion of the world, Evander Holyfield.
So why are you mad at Carolina?
All right, now listen, let's listen. These guys, to me, are jerks. This is a joke. Young men expressing themselves for joy of winning. You don't do this thing in the net. It's professional hockey. What are these guys, the jerks or something? They're jerks doing it.
We kind of like it.
I know what I'm talking about.
Hey, Adam, it's Dr. Jay Calvert.
Hello, Dr. Calvert. How are you?
Doing great. I got Dr. Jason Berkeley with me.
I'm over here. How's it going?
Doing very well. A bunch of doctors. I feel better.
Well, it is the Dr. Hockey Podcast. You can call us Jason and Jay, but, you know, that's all good. If you just say doctor, one of us will answer.
Right. Perfect.
All right, so here on the Dr. Hockey Podcast, we are bringing on Adam Gold from North Carolina to talk a lot about the Carolina Hurricanes. We have some questions, obviously, about what you're seeing is going on with the team, and then also we want to know about their post-win parties that we love, but right. Don Cherry has taken exception to.
Oh, man, I love Don Cherry. You have no idea how much we thank Don Cherry for taking the celebrations to a new level.
Totally.
Literally within like 12 hours of Don Cherry saying, which was a Saturday night about a week ago or so, maybe 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night, was 2 weeks ago, when he called him a bunch of jerks. Within 12 hours, there were T-shirts made and sold. It was phenomenal how quickly that happened. And to the point where I actually thought that Don Cherry was in on the joke, because there's no way that you could. I mean, everything was happened so fast based on what Don Cherry said. And I love Don Cherry. I have nothing against Don Cherry at all. Nope. I'm not surprised that he was anti-storm surge. But man, I just assumed he's in on the joke because everything happened so fast.
I'm so looking forward to the celebration where you all wear Don Cherry-esque jackets.
Yeah, totally. Well, I thought that was happening.
I have suggested, and I would tell you I'm kidding, but I'm not. And I do my own podcast here, Canes Centric. It's called Canes Corner Podcast, whatever. And I actually just talked to the marketing guy, and I said on the podcast today that I'm actually surprised that it's just T-shirts, because at this point, Bunch of Jerks is a rallying cry. So I would put it on car flags. I would put it on mouse pads. I would put it on coffee mugs, koozies, everything.
I've already trademarked it, so it's too late.
Wrong. It's not too late. So the Hurricanes are apparently going to put it on a bunch of things. They have hoodies. I mean, put Bunch of Jerks on everything. That should be the thing, man.
You can't beat it. I mean, what a great battle cry. And, you know, the team's playing so well. It's really fun watching the they've come a long way since last year. And I think Rod Brind'Amour is just like he's just doing such a great job.
Even 6 months ago, the team wasn't really that good, per se. And They've exploded in the last, 2 months?
Well, their record before they played the Flyers in Philadelphia at home on New Year's Eve, their record was 15-17-5.
Right.
So that's two games under NHL 500. They are now 12 games over NHL 500, or 13 games, I think, over NHL 500, and they have 79 points in 66 games. So, yes, 15 games over 500 since New Year's Eve is the best record in the sport. They have been, they've scored, I believe, more goals than anybody in the sport. And I have said this, I've known Rod Brind'Amour a long time, and I was one of the first people when they fired, well, they didn't fire Bill Peters, they allowed him to walk to another job, even though he had a new, one more year left on his contract. And I wrote, and I actually just went back and read it today, I wrote back in April that this is going to be, this should be an easy search. The right guy is right here, because I mean, it's funny. Rod's, I don't think there's any question. He's the lowest paid head coach in the league. And he might be the lowest paid head coach in organized sports. This is not a head coaching job to Rod Brind'Amour. This is a personal mission to restore the franchise that, even though he was a star in Philadelphia and he's already had his number retired in Philly too, he is the greatest Hurricane that ever played. And that's, he's not the you know, most, he doesn't have the most goals. That's Eric Staal. But Brind'Amour is the best player this franchise, this iteration of the franchise has ever had. And he wants it to work here, and he wants to restore this team to being a year-in, year-out playoff team. So this is a personal thing for Rod. And when you get somebody who's invested in it personally, like he is, it's going to work. On top of that, the players respected what he did as a player and how he did it and how he prepared and how he kept himself in incredible shape. And there was nobody showing up to training camp in poor shape. Zero people did that. This team has played like it's a well-conditioned team. And the stability that he has brought them, the consistency, no way you could have ever imagined that they would be essentially go about their business the same way today as they did in December, as they did in November, as they did in October, as they did in September. That is the most incredible thing I've ever seen in sports, is how consistent they've been even through hard times.
Well, Rod is an amazing guy, and what he's done as a coach is incredible. But the truth is, you know, not to take anything away from what he's done, the players that have been amassed on this Hurricanes team this year are just a really perfect stew of talent. And I say that because they've drawn from so many different, you know, places, you know, from Justin Williams, who like won the Cup with the Kings and he was one of my favorite players on the Kings, and he's just a great guy to have in Carolina, to Teuvo Teravainen, to, you know, Sebastian Aho. This team has so much going for it in the talent pool.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. First of all, I agree. It is, I think the way you said it was even was perfect when you call it a perfect stew. It really is. It's not the most talented team in the world. They essentially roll out two fourth lines. The third line and fourth line is not expected to contribute on the score sheet. They do, but that's not by design. But when you stack them up against, and I don't want to stack them up against Tampa or Toronto or Boston, because those are the best teams. But when you stack them up against the Islanders, or heck, the Penguins, who are not as deep as people might think, or most of the teams in the West, the Hurricanes don't have the same level of talent that those other teams do. And it's essentially, remember, they gave away, I mean, flat gave away Jeff Skinner. And you see what Jeff Skinner, I mean, he got nothing for Jeff. He got a second round pick nothing. And a guy that they've already moved on from in the minor leagues. So they really got nothing for Jeff Skinner. He was just essentially jettisoned from the locker room, and that's not to speak ill of Jeff Skinner. It was a move they made that they felt like they needed to just everybody needed to move on. But it's not an incredibly gifted group in terms of skill. But what they are is a very nice blend, and even the skill guys play a certain way that this team needs to play. They have an outstanding forecheck They're tremendous there, and their blue line is absolutely, it's finally coming around. It, the first 2 months, 2.5 months of the season, the defensive core was okay, but not great. It's been great since New Year's Eve. Dougie Hamilton's a new player. Justin Faulk's having his best year in the NHL, even though his scoring is some down, down some from past years. Defensively, he is a complete player. Jacob Slavin is an elite talent. Brett Pesce, there's a reason why Toronto wants Brett Pesce badly. And a lot of teams around the league want Brett Pesce badly.
He As is opposed a, to Joe Pesce, I would assume.
I would take Joe Pesce and put him on the same line as Brett Pesce. They'd be amazing. But it's
they wouldn't
very
be very funny,
mix.
But they'd be amazing, right?
Oh, are you kidding me, Joe? Brett... Actually, Brett Pesce is sneaky funny.
Let me ask you a question. So, you know, looking at this team, and, you know, it's nice to see when a team goes beyond the expectations of a season, because I don't think anybody thought they'd be in third place in the Metro Division,
no.
You know, in the middle of March right now. Nope. But I think one of the biggest question marks that I had about this team wasn't their offensive power. We obviously already know about their top two lines. It was more the goaltending. And, you know, when you go from a player like you had with Cam that, you know, really kind of was like a stalwart in Carolina, and you have a goalie come in, Peter Mrazek, who, you know, my team's the Red Wings, and, you know, he had a good 6 months, got a tremendous contract for 6 months of play, was mediocre the rest of the time, got traded to Philly, was less than mediocre there, found a home there in Carolina, has played well in Carolina.
Yep.
And you almost have a kind of a, with Mekeleni and Mrazek, now you have kind of a goalie by proxy almost.
You know, the goaltending here, first of all, it isn't even about last year, and you are never going to find a bigger Cam Ward fan than I, except maybe the voice of the Hurricanes, John Forslund. Cam was a wonderful human being, a great goaltender, but unfortunately for Cam, injuries, time took its toll, and he was no longer the player. He could not be a 50-game-a-year guy. Cam needed to be a 30-game-a-year backup, but everybody they brought in to be the number one failed miserably, whether it was Eddie Lack or Scott Darling, and Darling is having issues again in the minor leagues. He took a leave of absence at the beginning of the season, and Darling had a really good preseason, and there were people very optimistic that Darling would be able to rebound after last year. And then he hurt his hamstring in the final preseason game, and the Hurricanes needed a goalie, and they didn't want to bring up a young guy. So they plucked Curtis Mekeleni off waivers on October 6th. I mean, literally 2 days before the start of the regular season.
Unbelievable.
And he still had all of his stuff, all of his equipment from the Maple Leafs, so it was all blue. His shorts were blue. His pads were blue and white. I mean, the mask was blue. He comes to Carolina, and he's wearing his old stuff. And he played the second game of the year in Columbus and was spectacular. And the team, the intent with Curtis Mekeleni was for him to play a couple of weeks until Scott Darling got healthy, and then they would put Mekeleni back on waivers. Toronto would reclaim him, send him to the minor leagues, and Scott Darling would assume the role of either number one or 1A or 1B, whatever. It's never materialized that way. Mekeleni is statistically, if you look at it, a top five goalie in the NHL. And Mrazek has been, after he had some his own injury issues at times, but Mrazek has been better than the numbers indicate, and the numbers aren't bad. It is an incredible mix. Goaltending is not even a discussion here anymore, and it's probably the first time in 5 years that's been the case.
Well, and that's what you're going to need in the playoffs. I mean, having a tandem is going to be key. Do you believe that, and I probably am, you know, asking a rhetorical question here, but do you believe that this team has a shot at the cup?
At what? At winning the Stanley Cup?
Yes.
I mean, everybody that gets in has a shot at winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's part of the whole thing about the NHL is that you ride a hot goaltender. The team is 21-6-2 since New Year's Eve. So if you're in, you've got a shot. Is it a really long shot? hell yeah. Does it help if you get on the Metro Division side of the playoffs? Absolutely. Look, I think the Hurricanes have a chance to finish second in the Metro. Ultimately, the Washington Capitals are going to win it. So right. I think the Hurricanes have a chance to finish second in the Metro. But even as long as they don't finish below the first wild card and they play on the Metro side, I give them a chance to get to the conference finals. I do think the three best teams in the East all play in the Atlantic, whether it's Tampa, Toronto, or Boston. So it would help to not have to play two of those teams to get to the Stanley Cup. But it would be far-fetched. But again, it's hockey. I would never count anything out when the playoffs start because it's just a strange beast.
Right, and we've seen it. I mean, look at, you know, the LA Kings started as a wild card eighth place and won the cup. So, and they started off losing the first three games.
I believe 2 years ago, wasn't Nashville the eighth seed?
Yeah, they were.
I think they were. So,
yep, they were, and they spanked Chicago out of the first round.
Right.
That's right, and they swept them.
Yeah, look. So is it possible? Yes. This team still, however, as I try to tell people, you know, I host a radio show in Raleigh, I try to tell people who care that this team has not made the playoffs yet. They have not made the playoffs since 2009. And I heard a host that does a show before me talk about the Hurricanes being in great playoff position. And it just turned my stomach because, wait a second, we're smarter than that. There are 16 games left in their season. They still have to figure out a way to win maybe 10 of them. So that ain't good. they're in better position than they were, and they're in the same position as Pittsburgh, Montreal. Maybe they're better, I guess, than Columbus because they're 2 points ahead of Columbus, and they'll play Columbus next week. But they're by no means in great position because they're still fighting for their life. Every game they play is essentially a playoff game.
So, Adam, let me ask you a question. So let's say hypothetically, which I don't think it's too hypothetical, that this team makes the playoffs. And
right.
I'm not trying to jinx you. I'm just saying I think they're
no,
making the playoffs.
I don't believe in jinxes, so I'm just
good.
I'm just trying to be practical about it.
Right.
So when they make the playoffs, let's say they have either a first or second round exit, just hypothetically at that point. What changes do you see them potentially making in the offseason, or what would you change about them now if you had the opportunity, if you're running this team, that you say, you know what, really, really lacking in A, or we have too much of B that we can counterbalance that with something else? What do you think that you would say that this team would need to do to become a cup contender?
I think those two things are very, very different animals, and I'll answer the second one first. I wouldn't change anything about this team, not a single thing. Now, for next year, I would change plenty, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
I am a firm believer in chemistry, and I think it's the intangible in all of sports. Chemistry leads to confidence. Confidence leads to better play. And this team, the chemistry, I wouldn't mess with it at all. I was proud of them, and I wrote before the trade deadline for our website that this is a team that deserved to give it a shot on their own. They could have traded Michael Ferland and gotten a second-round pick and maybe a prospect. They could have traded a defenseman and got it a top-six score. But it didn't make sense to me to not give this group the chance to take this across the finish line. So with that said, I wouldn't change a thing about this particular group.
The chemistry almost reminds me a little bit of Vegas from last year in a sense.
That same
feel of like that they're in this together.
Right.
And they don't want anybody else messing with this.
I don't think there's any question just from those of us who experienced 2002 and 2006 and 2009. It has a lot of the traits of the kind of the surprising run in 2002 to the Stanley Cup final.
They did not win to which team was it, Jay?
But hey,
I don't know, Jason. Who didn't they lose to?
I have a 4x7, a huge picture, rectangular frame picture of that Red Wings win on the ice. I have to just throw that out there.
But you weren't too nervous, were you, in game three in Raleigh when Carolina had a, I think it was a 2-1 lead late in the third period? You weren't too nervous down 2-1, right?
When the Wings were always contending, I don't care what the score was, I was always nervous. I think I shaved about 10 years off my life between 1990 to 2008 or 2009, I should say, when they were in playoffs. That was a great run by Carolina. There was no question.
It was.
I mean, it was.
This team reminds me a little of that for a number of reasons. That team wasn't incredibly gifted offensively. It played the right way. It had great chemistry. It also had a goaltending tandem of Arturs Urbe and Kevin Weeks uncommonly effective. Urbe was great. Kevin Weeks was sneaky great. They're both. In the playoffs that year, they each had a goals against average of under 1.7. It was unreal how well they played in tandem. So I wouldn't mess with the chemistry. As for next year, I don't think Michael Ferland will be here because I think somebody is going to give him the money he's looking for, and that somebody is not the Carolina Hurricanes. But I do think they will bring in a top six-ish forward. Whether it's a center or not, I don't know. I think they will move out a right shot defenseman to bring in a forward with some goal scoring acumen. And what the Carolina Hurricanes have a lot of, and maybe too much of, are depth forwards, really fourth line guys.
Yes.
And if you have four or five of those players, that's probably two or three too many. So yep. I think you'll see them exchange some of those guys. And I believe that next year you'll have three scoring lines. Andrei Svechnikov, the rookie this year, the 18-year-old kid from Russia, is a dynamite player. He's going to be so much better next year.
I wanted him in the draft so bad.
Oh, my gosh. He'll probably play up. I know his brother is in the Red Wings system. I think he's hurt this year.
Yeah, he hurt his knee. He had a knee surgery earlier. But when Andrei was in the draft, I was just like, please pick him. I wanted him. So we got Zadina, obviously, and then we got Veleno, but... But boy, he's been playing really, really well for you guys, and I've been always impressed watching him play.
Yeah, and I think the way he plays is also indicative of why everybody likes him so much. He is very much a north-south player.
Yeah.
He is a power forward. He mixes it up. He's going to get in a fight this year. I'm positive of it. He almost got in a fight against St. Louis the other night, and Jordan Martinook had to kind of go to bat for him. Although Svechnikov was ready to drop the gloves if he had to. He is that kind of player. He loves to get under your skin. And I absolutely am in love with the way he plays. The skill, he's got tons of skill. The game will slow down a little bit more for him next year. He's going to be a 25 to 30 goal scorer for the rest of his life.
Well, you know, those are the kind of things that the Canes need to add it all up and make it happen. I mean, they clearly have the spirit. They've got the experience working together now. And like you said, since New Year's Day, they're one of the top teams in the NHL, you know, depending on how you want to look at it. I think it's really fun. I love watching the team play. I think Sebastian Aho is just he's just exciting, and it's fun to watch him play. He's got speed. He's got a wicked shot, and you know, those kind of players are rare, and when you get one on your team, obviously you can build a lot around them. But I got to say, I think Teuvo Teravainen is kind of right there with him. He's got the juice to do the same thing, and you know, I'm pretty sure that his best years are ahead of him.
Yeah, well, Teravainen is an old man. He's already 24. Aho is 20. Aho's 21. Look, Teravainen. It just signed a 5-year contract extension that right now looks like the greatest bargain in hockey history because he's been better than a point a game since signing the extension. And it's only a $5.4 million a year average annual value. So he's been very good. He's a very good defensive player. Both Aho and Teravainen are used to kill penalties now.
Yep.
And when your best players can be used in that situation, obviously it says a lot about him. Real quick on Aho. You talk about, he's got tons of skill. He's fast. Again, defensively smart. He'll get better in the faceoff circle. This is the first year he's played center in the NHL. The two things about him that people when you look at him, you wouldn't know. One, he is as competitive as anybody I've ever met. He hates to lose more than he likes to win. And that drives him. And the other thing is, if you watch the goal that he scored last night in Boston, the first goal, it didn't even hit his stick. It hit his skate. Zdeno Chara could not win the physical battle in front of the net with Sebastian Aho. They essentially neutralized it. And if Chara couldn't move Aho out, it tells you what kind of sneaky lower body strength he has. And Aho fought for position, got it, and the puck went off his skate. It hit Chara on the way through, but Aho got into prime position because he is relentless and he is really strong for a little guy.
Well, you know, that you got another, you know, those things are all very important, especially in a guy that's going to be, you know, bumping around in front of the net like Aho is. But, you know, you've got Justin Falk in the back there, too, that's, you know, not a giant person, but definitely a giant presence on the ice.
You know, Justin has had a rough couple of years here. He scored a bunch of goals. He was averaging 16 goals a year for a three-year period a few years ago. Last year was a terrible year on both ends of the ice. This year, and I credit the presence of Rod Brind'Amour as the head coach, Falk came back in better shape. He came back a little bit leaner. He's a little quicker. And the offense wasn't there at first, but defensively, he was so good that they could not take him off the ice. The offense is starting to come now. The defense remains there, although last night was a rough night for a lot of players, including Justin Falk, who made two mistakes that led to Boston goals and ultimately an overtime loss. But you're going to have that no matter who you are. Falk's had a great year. If I had to guess, though, I'd say there's a fair chance that he's probably the guy moved out in the offseason.
Yes.
But either way, Falk has been a really good player for this team this year. And you could look at it in ice time almost every night. He's either first in ice time or second. And that's with Jacob Slavin being the best player on their blue line. But Falk gets the first power play time. He's also used to kill penalties. He's used in every situation. But he's really had a spectacular year. Real quick, you mentioned him earlier, but I don't want to not end this conversation without saying that I think one of the sneaky biggest differences between this year's team and last year's team is the captain. Justin Williams was brought here a year ago kind of to be the captain.
Yep.
And through a power play, pardon the hockey term, he was not given a letter at all last year by the head coach, Bill Peters. Rod Brind'Amour wasted no time. They opened training camp. They sent out an email to everybody. By the way, Justin Williams is the captain. And everybody went, it's about time. I've known Justin since he came to Carolina in a trade with the Philadelphia Flyers in 2004, just before the lockout. He went, I think it was for Danny Markov, who was a defenseman who never really gelled in Carolina. Justin's been in the league since he's 18. He's 37 years old. He is better now than he was, I'd say, 4 years ago. He's quicker. He's in incredible shape. He is the perfect leader for a team of really young players who have never been through this. I can't even express how much fun it is to watch Justin go through this year with this team, because he's wearing a C for the first time in his career.
And well-deserved. I mean, just an amazing player. He is so tough and an incredible competitor. And having him as the leader of the Hurricanes is completely the right move. And it's obviously showing up in the locker room and how things are shaking out for the team this year.
Yeah, and the storm surge was his idea. The storm surge was his idea. They were looking for something just a little bit different. Now, it didn't start off with this in mind. They did not go into this intending that, oh, one day Evander Holyfield will show up at PNC Arena and we'll have him knock out Jordan Martinook after a win over the St. Louis Blues. That was never intended. But they just wanted to do something a little bit different after a win. So they didn't win their first game because they lost in overtime to the Islanders, but they win their second home game. And like normally, I mean, the team had come out before and kind of waved to the crowd, and that's cool and all that. And then they went through the storm surge, and the first one was very basic. It was just they skated from one end of the ice to the other and did like Lambo leaps into the glass. It wasn't a big deal. But even through the first 2 months of the season, more often than not, that's basically all they did. But it got a little bit more creative, you know, as time wore on. I don't know how they're going to top Evander Holyfield being a part of it.
I'll tell you how you do it. They recreate the pool scene from Caddyshack.
But who's bringing the baby Ruth?
Somebody's got to bring a baby Ruth and just fling it on the ice. And say so, maybe Bill Murray will come out with a little broom or something and say, it's no big deal.
Well, you know, Skip Cunningham has been with the franchise for since the New England Whalers were born. So Skip Cunningham could be a very good Carl Spackler.
There you go. Done. That's perfect. Well, I think it's going to be awesome, especially in the playoffs. It's going to get a lot of attention because, you know, the truth is that the Carolina markets do not get a lot of airtime on television. And it's unfortunate. Obviously, you know, the big networks like to go to the big markets and, you know, put up Washington and New York and L.A. and Chicago and Pittsburgh. And, you know, I just think it'll be a huge deal for the Hurricanes to make the playoffs and win some games and get through a round or two. If not all the way, it'd be fantastic.
Last year and this year, Carolina has had exactly one game each year on NBC Sports Net. I get it. NBC wants to put the teams that always draw eyeballs on TV.
Yep.
Whether it's the Rangers or the Penguins or the Capitals or the Sabres or the Flyers or the Red Wings, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I would do the same thing. But if you win and if you're a playoff team and you make a deep run in the playoffs and you get some recognition, you're going to get plenty of opportunities to be on national television. So if this team can get in, they'll be on national TV a couple of times during the playoffs. Maybe they win a round. Maybe they win two rounds. Maybe things go bananas here and they make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, which would extend my season covering hockey for another couple of months. And that would be awesome. But if it put them on the map and it was good, it'll be good for business, which is another thing, because we're tired of hearing all the ugly, nasty, unfounded rumors about relocation. It will be great for everybody here, and it will show what we know is a great hockey market when the team is winning. It's kind of fair weather. There's a lot of opportunity to spend your discretional spending elsewhere, but this is a good hockey market when the Hurricanes are good.
Play the first round in the Hartford Whalers uniforms. I think there might be a little bit of an omen.
That would be they have not lost in regulation in the two games. By the way, it was so obvious that they were trolling the people of New England by playing both of those games against the Bruins.
Right.
They beat the Bruins in Raleigh 2 days before Christmas. It was a great game last night in Boston, and Carolina managed to take it to overtime and they lost there, but at least they got a point out of it. So they're 1-0-1 as the Hartford Whalers.
I still think it's one of the best jerseys and color combinations in all of sports ever.
It is. It's a beautiful jersey. As we're sitting here now, I am wearing a Hartford Whalers toque.
Nice.
So
love it.
Yes, it's beautiful.
So Adam, tell us about all your stuff. Where you have your own podcast? What is that podcast so that we can check it out ourselves?
Would love you for you to do that. WRALsportsfan.com. That's the TV station that owns my sports radio station, WRALsportsfan.com. It's called the Canes Corner Podcast. You can go to WRALsportsfan.com and there's an icon for podcast. I believe along the bar at the top. Got so it. You get to Canes Corner Podcast. I do a radio show and I cover the team. So I'll be at practice tomorrow watching the guys see if Michael Ferland is back from his injury to see if anything else is going on. But it's a lot of fun. And this stretch here where they have Winnipeg at home, at Nashville, at Colorado, and at Columbus, Well, I think we'll pretty much have a very good idea of what the last 12 games of the season are going to have based on what we see in these four games. If they come out of this in good shape, then it's going to be a blast either way. And I'm excited for the fans here that they get a chance to experience games of consequence while the NCAA basketball tournament is going on.
Oh yeah. Well,
it's been a while.
You have a very basketball centric area there in Raleigh, Durham. I mean, that between, NC, you got Chapel Hill, you got Duke, you got Wake Forest. I mean, that is a very hardcore college basketball area, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting them over to hockey is possible, and nothing like a great run in the playoffs to do it.
Look, they haven't been in the playoffs in 2009. It took until 2015 for attendance to really drop off. So there's a strong hockey market. A lot of people don't understand this about Raleigh. But about half the people who live in Raleigh grew up in Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, New York, Boston, Buffalo. I mean, it's really is half of like the county that I live in, half of Wake County are transplanted Northerners. We grew up with the game. I grew up going to Islanders games when I was a kid.
Yep.
I was in Uniondale. I went to the Nassau Coliseum. I saw playoff games there. I know the sport. I know how great it is.
Do you still root for the Islanders?
No, the only team of my youth that I have left behind is the Islanders, the only one. And that happened because I have some personal connections to, like, I am, even though I'm an objective reporter, I like people. So the fact I could not have more respect for Brenda Moore or Justin Williams. And I go back to players from past Hurricanes teams. I'm friends with Eric Coles, the Stanley Cup champion, and mm-hmm. Kevin Adams, who was an alternate captain on the 2006 Stanley Cup champion, and Brett Hedekin, who won that cup and played for it in 2002. So I've got friends who are either in coaching. Again, I've known Justin a long time, and I kept in touch when he was in LA and then in Washington. So I have personal connections. But I am, I'm not afraid to admit that I am a Hurricanes fan, and I do the best I can to stay, leave emotions out of it. But I'm very excited for the people involved in this, and I want this for them more than I want it for anybody else.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time with us tonight on the Dr. Hockey podcast, Adam. It's great to hear about the Hurricanes. We wish the team a lot of luck. We will definitely be watching, and who knows? Maybe we'll get you back on as they start to come into the Cup Finals to chat again.
Anytime you guys want to BS and let me rant and bloviate about the Hurricanes, I'll do it.
You got it. All right, man. Talk to you soon. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Hey, take care, guys. Thank you.
Carolina Hurricanes are like, me, in the military, we have traditions. We have, like the New Zealand All Blacks, the rugby team.
Yeah, yeah. They.
So why are you mad at Carolina?
All right, now, listen. Let's listen. This is the National Hockey League. Brenda Moore is a good coach. These guys, to me, are jerks. You have to do this in the National. They're still not drawn. This is to me, and I'll tell you one thing, they better not do this in the playoff. What I don't understand is Brendan Moore's a straight shooter. He always was. This is a joke. The rest of the guys, young men expressing themselves for joy of winning. They don't do this thing in the net. It's professional hockey. One of these guys are jerks or something. And I'll tell you one thing, they do this in the playoffs, making fun of the other team.
But nobody's out on the ice. The game's over. I admit, I always liked your theory of when you celebrate when you win only. That's why you liked Muhammad Ali, whereas Sugar Ray Leonard did this.
Before. Shuffle. Now, you don't, if you want to do it before. But that is absolutely ridiculous. I know the rest of the people. I know all the broadcasters and everything are afraid to say something like that. They're jerks doing it.
We kind of like it.
I know you. Well, you're lucky. The weatherman, you know what I mean? I know what I'm talking about. You never do anything like that. They're still not drawn. They're a bunch of jerks as far as I'm concerned. Imagine Justin Williams doing stuff like that. Ridiculous.
Seems a little odd. I got to give you that.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
DrinkAid is the best tasting and most effective way to help prevent hangovers. It's the fastest growing hangover prevention beverage in the U.S. and helps neutralize toxins created by alcohol, restores vital nutrients, and rehydrates the body with electrolytes. Take one 3.4-ounce bottle before or while drinking, or even after a workout to feel great the next day. Key ingredients include potassium, B vitamins, milk thistle, green tea extract, aloe vera, and amino acids. It's not only sugar-free, but it's gluten-free, low-calorie, and it tastes great. Skeptical? Check out all the incredible reviews on Amazon, which I have, and they are incredible. It's available at many fine retailers across the U.S., including GNC, Vitamin Shop, as well as BevMo in California, Specs in Texas, Binny's in Chicago, and all the hottest casino resorts in Vegas. And, of course, on Amazon.com and DrinkAid.com. That's DrinkAide.com. Use the promo code HOCKEY, HOCKEY, to get 25% off your first order of DrinkAid.com.